So, just want to start by giving kind of an abbreviated history of what has kind of led us up to this point with social media. So it was in August of 2003 that basically a new trend struck the United States, and really in such a way that our country really hasn't been the same ever since. It was a movement that began that year that would gradually increase in membership by the millions every single year. And that movement changed the way that Americans thought, the way that Americans talked, the way that Americans really kind of structured their everyday life. So it was in August of 2003 that the concept of social networking finally penetrated the everyday lives of the American culture. Now, it was at that time that the famous social networking site MySpace took center stage, and so most of you don't even know what that is. Some of you, if you do know what that is, it's because you're a leader in this ministry. But really, for 5 years, MySpace gained in popularity and in members. By 2006, it surpassed Google as the most visited site in the United States. That was by 2008. People began obsessing about the features and the benefits of being able to socialize with people in convenient fashion, not only locally, but also nationally and even globally. Hours were spent every day designing personalized pages, sending and receiving messages, ranking your friends according to who you thought was the most important in your life, and even customizing music that went along with your personality. So soon days were scheduled and constructed around time that could be spent social networking. But MySpace obviously wasn't enough, because in 2008, that was when Facebook made its way onto the scene. And as good as MySpace was, Facebook was that much better. It was like the difference of having a regular lollipop that you can get at the store or one of those gigantic ones you can get at Disneyland. Facebook had that many more features, that many more things to be able to get you excited about, to engage in. More features, more tools, more options, more friends, more members, and with that comes also more time. And it became the most visited social networking site in the world by 2009. Now, I love the way that Entertainment Weekly put it. They did an article on this, but they included Facebook on its end of the decade best of list, saying, "How on earth did we stalk our exes, remember our coworkers' birthdays, bug our friends, and play rousing games of Scrabulous before Facebook?" Obviously, there was a lot of sarcasm that was involved in that. But obviously, this got the ball rolling with what we know to be the social media culture that we have today. Things only grew from there with numerous platforms that we see today: Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Snapchat, and numerous other social media and social networking sites. And so that kind of provides the backdrop for why we want to talk about this subject today. There are obviously many different reasons that we need to talk about this subject. But as I went through this, I think that there are three primary reasons that it's important that we talk about this. And obviously, going off of what we just said here in the introduction, is that this is obviously a very relevant subject. You guys can't go a single day, essentially, without either participating in social networking, social media, or hearing about it, something of that nature. I mean, it's a part of our everyday life, our everyday culture. And that's not to say that this is something, as we talk about this here, guys, I recognize I'm talking about this to you guys as students, that this is a student thing. This is something for adults as well. This is obviously not just something that pertains to you as students. I think that there is a level that is elevated because of students and the culture that exists there. But even in doing my research on this, the reality is that adults, I found studies that prove that adults check social media more each day than the news, the weather, or even their bank accounts. It's just that, it's that prevalent across all ages and generations. So it's obviously relevant, but also I think that in many ways that this is part of my responsibility as a pastor for you. And here's what I mean by this. It is my responsibility as a pastor to shepherd you guys in the world that you currently live in, not the world of my own personal preference. In other words, there was a time and a day and an age where social media obviously did not exist. And I believe life was a little bit more simple because of that. Social media is great. We'll talk about a lot of the benefits of it. But it would be, I think it would be naive and it would be ignorant of me to just pass this off and just say, well, because I don't like it or I don't prefer it, that we shouldn't talk about it. It could be easy for parents and pastors to avoid it because of their preferences, as if to say, back in my day, when we didn't have social media, this is what we did instead. Well, that's great, but obviously it's not that day anymore. Every culture goes through this with the development of newer technologies. I mean, guys, there was a day and an age where the car did not exist. And so once the car came into existence, there were probably people who were not real thrilled with it as back in their day when the car didn't exist. Same thing with television when that didn't exist. And so it would be, what I'm trying to get at here is it's not my job to teach you how to live as a Christian in a world that I wish existed, but to disciple you in the world that you currently live in, to respond well to the things that are around you today, because that's what we're called to do. It's not that we are trying to create a culture that we prefer, it's that we respond appropriately to the world that we currently live in. So I think it's dangerous to keep you sheltered from the idea of social media. I think it's dangerous in some ways to keep you sheltered from it until you're out on your own, because then you're trying to figure it out for yourself. You know, I like the way that Tim Challies puts this. He says, hiding your head in the sand or surrendering to the inevitable is not living like a Christian. You hear that? So hiding your head in the sand or surrendering to the inevitable is not living like a Christian. In other words, he's saying to bury your head in the sand, in other words, to just try to avoid it, or to surrender to the inevitable, in other words, just kind of just let loose and just try to figure it out as you go along. That's not how you live as a Christian. So as your pastor, I think it's far more important to disciple you on how to use this platform well and prepare you for the world that you currently live in. Because as we're going to see soon, now social media is not evil. I want you to understand that up front. Social media is not an evil thing. Just like many other things in our culture are not evil, it's what you do with that ultimately determines if it's good or bad. So this prepares you for life, and as my next point reveals, the principles that we learn really transcend just social media, because what we really are going to find from this study is that it's revealing. It really exposes us to much about our lives. I think that social media is one of the greatest tools in our day that God has used to expose our hearts. And so that's actually one of the reasons I do like talking about this, is because I think that by talking about social media, we start to realize that what comes out in our profiles and things that we use to share with other people, I think a lot of times it's a really good indicator of your heart. And so it's actually a tool that can be used to measure, okay, where might there actually be some tendencies of sin in my life? And if you are a Christian in this room today, then your desire should be to get rid of that sin, right? I mean, that's what it means to live as a Christian, to be holy, to live pleasing to God. And so I think that it's a tool that can be used in that way. It allows us to see the potential for greater change. So the stuff that we learned today really actually transcends social media, even though social media is going to be our focus today. It extends into so many other areas of life, because everything is really an expression of your heart. So I've designed these workshops in this way to teach you that these issues are not necessarily compartmentalized segments, but they're overlapping circles that impact your Christian walk. In other words, it's not as if to say that I'm a Christian over here in social media, I'm a Christian over here as it relates to athletics, I'm a Christian over here as it relates to my parents. No, everything is overlapping with one another. So we do ourselves a danger when we think that social media is just some other aspect of our life that just is out there that we don't need to address. So that's why I think it's important that we study this topic. So let's think for a second, what are the goals that we are going to try to obtain here? So what are the specific goals as it relates to social media? Why does it exist, or why should it be used? Well, I think it's important to understand that, firstly, God gives us gifts to enjoy in life. I don't think that that's a wrong thing to say, that God does give certain technologies, God allows for certain things to be given to humanity for us to enjoy. I put up there Ecclesiastes 2:24. I don't think I actually included the verse in here, so let me read it for you real quick. Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, "There is nothing better for man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God." And so that verse is just simply saying that God does give us things to enjoy in life. And I don't think that social media is any different. I don't think that you have to have this attitude that because it gets so abused by so many other people in our society, therefore it's a bad thing. No, as we're going to learn, really, ultimately, social media is actually very neutral in nature. Guys, understand what I'm saying here. Social media, I would say, is no different in many ways than money. So money is not a good thing or a bad thing. It is what the Bible would call neutral. There's not a verse that says money is neutral. But it's simply saying what you do with that item is what qualifies it as a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, if you're living for getting money and harboring money and to expend it in extravagant ways, well, of course, that's bad. But if you're, you know, gathering money and you're giving it to other people, and obviously money is not a bad thing. Using it to support your family, all those things, like, those are good things. Same thing, guys, with social media. Social media is neutral. So what you do with it is ultimately going to determine whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And so the goals with social media are actually no different than the Christian life. So understand that this morning. What we're going to talk about here is no different than in any other area of your life. So the goal in life as a Christian, as 1 Corinthians 10:31 would say, says whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Now, I'm not an expert, but social media, I don't really think that qualifies as eating. I don't really think it qualifies as drinking. But it probably comes under the qualifier there in 1 Corinthians 10:31 of whatever you do. Whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do. So whatever you do, if you use social media, guess what? You do so to the glory of God. It's no different than any other area of your life. And so we want to use it in a way that would be pleasing to God. We also want to use it in a way that would reflect God to other people. We wrote down there Matthew 5:13-16. That's the first part in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says you are to be salt and light to this earth. In other words, you are meant to help shed the light of Christ to this world. And as salt, you're meant to be essentially a preservative. You're meant to allow, to have a preserving effect on society because of the spiritual decay that we see in it with sin. And so you're supposed to essentially be a sense of refreshment to the world that is just so dominated by sin. So the question is, you know, is the content that you have as it relates to your social media, is it shining God's light in a dark world? So these are the specific goals in mind that we want to think about when it relates to social media. So we're going to move on to another section here, but any questions up to this point? Anything we've talked about? Cries of outrage, anything like that?
Are lollipops actually bigger at Disneyland?
Oh, they're huge. You can get ginormous. Lollipops. They're like, they're like that big.
Aren't they like,
yeah,
Mickey Mouse ones?
Yeah, you can get Mickey Mouse ones, yeah, for sure.
They're awesome.
Basically, they're much bigger than like a Tootsie Pop. Yes.
So blame Ian if you want.
So any real questions as it relates to essentially why we're studying this or the goal in mind. Okay? Well, remember, write down any questions you have as we go along. So here's what we want to do for pretty much the remainder of our time is we want to think, what are some biblical considerations as it relates to social media? What are the areas that the Bible speaks to as it relates to how we process going about social media? And the first thing is this, pride. The Bible says a lot about pride. Pride is obviously one of the big things as it relates to sin in our society. If you've ever been around me, I would point out that almost any sin that you commit really finds its root in pride. But there's a reason that we called this workshop social media. If you guys, you picked up on that, I think, when I designed this here, you always were wondering, why did I capitalize the E in media? Well, that's because a lot of times when we look at social media, is that social media is about me. It's about promoting myself. And so one of the big dangers about social media is that it gives you a platform to put yourself on display, to put your looks, to put your thoughts out there, your talents, your likes, your dislikes, your lifestyle. In other words, social media can become all about me. And we care about how others perceive us, don't we? We care about how people think that we look, what we do, where we are, and what we're doing. I mean, that was my big frustration with social media years ago. People would hear me rant about this all the time. I got so frustrated with Facebook status updates that people would update 20 times a day, just letting us know where they were and what they were doing. It was like, going to the grocery store.
Who cares about that?
Great. Back from the grocery store. All right. Petting my dog. Don't care. But that was, there would be people who literally, it was like, or at the end of the day, they would recap everything in their day. And it wasn't like it was a good or a bad day. It was a recap.
It's like, this is what I did today.
This is what I did. And understand again, I don't think people thought about it in the moment, but when you do that and when you feel the need to tell everybody about everything that's going on in your life in that type of way, if you don't realize it, but you're doing so because you think it's important that everybody know what's happening in your life. To some degree, you think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And again, this is further stoked in the culture of things like selfies and like, again, it becomes a very me culture. I'm not saying if you take a selfie, it's a bad thing, but I mean, if you look around you, it doesn't take long even at a student ministry event, you see students even on, Snapchat and things like that, where all of a sudden it's just, you see people taking just random photos of themselves everywhere, and you're just like, what in the world is happening right now? Another expression of pride is something that we call FOMO. You guys know about FOMO? What's FOMO? Anybody know?
Fear of missing out.
Yep, FOMO. Yep, fear of missing out. The idea behind FOMO and fear of missing out is that we think that we need to know and keep up with everything that's going on. It goes back to the heart of importance that we feel like we deserve and we need to know everything that's happening. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And so, don't underestimate, and I'm not saying that this is you in any of these ways. I want you to be aware of how we sometimes fall prey to some of these things, and all of a sudden, these accounts, and I get it, like a social media account it's about you, so I get that. I understand that. I'm not saying that it has to be absent of you communicating your likes and your interests and stuff like that. But the Bible just speaks to a lot of the dangers of pride. And we've studied Proverbs all this semester with our high schoolers. And there's so much in Proverbs we can't get to. And so I'm glad that we actually can talk today because there's so much that Proverbs speaks to on this. A lot of these verses I think I have written down in your thing. But Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Pride always goes before the fall. And it's simply, I think that really this reinforces what I was saying earlier. Pride always goes before sin. It's always in some way we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Proverbs 27:2, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. In other words, don't allow this platform to be a place for you to toot your own horn, essentially. Okay, let that come from somebody else, not from yourself. In Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Guys, what do people see when they look at your social media account? If you were to go back today and you were to look at your activity, your posts, what would people see? What would be communicated through it? And who's being praised ultimately? And again, this is a disclaimer. I'm not saying that you can't have fun with it. You can't post pictures of yourself. That's not what I'm saying. But what is the overall consistent pattern that exists? Whose platform is it? And again, as this says here, kind of appropriate responses to pride is a humble spirit, as Proverbs 29:23 says. 1 Corinthians 1:31, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. How many of our social media platforms, you know, profiles, are we using as a way to boast and to give praise to God? And even John 3:30, if you guys were in Sunday school a few weeks ago, we talked about this one, okay? This is that idea. We had the illustration with the best man type of thing. It's the he must increase, I must decrease. This great verse on humility is saying life is not just about me. It's about someone so much greater than me. So the Bible speaks much to this as it relates to pride, but perhaps even paired with this is this idea that the Bible speaks on this subject as it relates to your identity. What do we mean by identity? So your identity is ultimately who or what you find acceptance in. So if you want to write that down, your identity is who or what you find your acceptance in. Identity is who or what you find your acceptance in. And that is so important because this overflows into so many areas of your life. It's not just about social media. It's just unfortunate the ways that social media has fueled this fire in many ways. So let me ask you, based on how we just defined identity, where are some areas of your life that you may try to find your identity in? What do you think? Where are some areas you might find your identity in, or try to?
Your friends.
Okay, so your friends. So you try to essentially, again, we're just plugging in this idea. You find your importance, your worth, your acceptance in your friends. In other words, your friends are who define you. Okay? How else? Where else might you find your identity?
Activities.
Okay, activities. So if you're a person who's in band, or if you're a person who's in athletics, okay, how you perform and how you do in that is a lot of times how you find your value and your acceptance. You think, okay, if I do well, then my value is tied up in this thing. If I don't do well, my identity it's shattered because I'm basing so much of my value and my acceptance from other people in this activity. So we could go on and on. There's all kinds of places that you can find or try to get your identity. And the problems that often come with social media as it relates to this, guys, I mean, this is really where social media is a problem, because a lot of the times what it gets used for is this idea of comparing yourself to other people. You know, we find our identity in how we look, the type of lifestyle that we're engaged in. And so it's no wonder that this results in so much comparing ourselves to others, body image issues, eating disorders. We live in a world here where, I mean, people, you know, how many likes or, you know, applause or whatever you get on these different platforms We base that on, you know, how popular we are. In fact, there was, as I was doing my research on this, there was one study that said that there was something out there, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I believe it, but with Instagram, that young girls who are engaged in Instagram would essentially follow their posts. After they post something for 5 to 10 minutes, they would see how many likes they got on it. And if it didn't reach the desired number of likes that they wanted, they would delete the post. Because it would be embarrassing for that to be out there and only so many people like it. Because there's this sense of worth and popularity that come by putting something out there that is liked by other people. And you may be thinking this morning, well, that's not me. I'm not that. And that's okay. I get it. But I think that there is a sense in which we, if we throw something out there, we expect some type of response. And if we don't, we somehow get a little disappointed and maybe a little offended. And it's because we're allowing that platform in some way to start to define us, finding our identity in it. Here's some stats that I found from a survey in one of these books that I used here. But there was an online survey that was done of teenagers, and it found this, and this is pretty startling. It says almost 75% of teens struggle comparing themselves to others. I would say that that's probably true, if not higher.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, that almost 75% of teens struggle comparing themselves to other people. Struggle in some way when they see other people. There's a sense in which they maybe wish they could be a little bit more like them. Guys, I was sitting watching some basketball with family yesterday, and I saw a commercial come up, and I think it was like an E-Trade commercial, and it was a lady, and she was on her Instagram thing, and she had some person that she was following on Instagram, and the whole commercial is essentially her comparing herself to this person. She's like, oh man, she takes these classes, she posts the best pictures, she has this amazing life. And like, that was the basis of the commercial. And I think it had something to do with about your investments at the end. I don't really know. But it was just so funny because I was watching this and it was like a live demonstration of everything that I was putting together in this section. I'm just like, this is totally reinforcing the way that we live. Is we're constantly comparing ourselves to others. Some of these other stats, over 50% of teens feel like they don't measure up to their friends in some sort of way. And there would be many other numbers that we could look at here, but for the sake of time, it's this idea that we too often find our identity in the wrong things. So you can see where this can be a problem with social media. And it's no surprise that there has been a drastic rise, I think, in teen depression since the period of social media and smartphones have come alive. In the last decade, it's serious. If you do the research, you will see that the rise in teen depression has gone up drastically. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it's come in the age of smartphones and social media. Because all of a sudden, we're comparing ourselves with people in a way that we never really actually had before when we just went to school with them. And so there is a danger in this. You need to be aware of. And here's what you have to remember, is that more often than not, majority of the time, people never post stuff in their social media accounts of their worst, right? They don't post, you know, what they look like when they just woke up out of bed. Or maybe they do, because that's funny sometimes. But unfortunately, most of the time, that's not what they're doing, okay? It's they're trying to post when they look at their best. You know, they don't post about the sensitive and fragile argument they just had with their spouse or with their parent, or maybe they do. But most of the time, it's a platform for them to portray the best in their life. And so we want to find acceptance or praise in someone or something. That's our problem. But what the Bible reminds us time and time again is that our acceptance, our identity, is not found in these things, but it's found in Christ. Let me read one paragraph for you real quick from this book, which I'll recommend to you guys here at the end. But I love the way that the author puts it here. It says that Jesus wants us to know that when we try to find our identity, worth, or value in something beside him, our very being, who we are at our core, gets lost. For instance, let's say that you are trying to base your identity on what other people think of you. Whether you are pretty, skinny, smart, athletic, popular, have a boyfriend, or something else, it won't be long before your life or joy will start to seep out as you find yourself constantly striving to achieve or maintain whatever it is you're after. You will constantly be disappointed and most likely depressed as you drown in self-absorption. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Again, this is what happens when we forget that our identity as Christians is not found in the culture, the people, our activities, whatever. It's found in Jesus. Jesus, again, how we define that is where we find our acceptance. So as Christians, our acceptance is already rooted in Jesus. He's already accepted us. So that means nothing else really matters. The opinions of other people, our sports, how we perform in those areas, because we already have a place that we are accepted. And it's the most important place we could be accepted, right? I love the way that Romans 15:7 says, therefore accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Obviously, the emphasis there is on how we relate to one another, but it brings us back to the importance there. Just as Christ also accepted us. Christ has already done that. Galatians 2:20 reminds us that we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved himself and gave himself up for us. Guys, if that's the priority, then nothing else really should bother us. What other issues? What about stewardship? The Bible says a lot about stewardship. What is stewardship, by the way? When I throw out that word, what does stewardship mean? Any idea what stewardship means? All right, so stewardship is essentially a word that means you are responsible for something. Okay, you've been entrusted with something and you're responsible for carrying it out. So when we think about stewardship, there's a couple things we need to keep in mind. We need to keep in mind that stewardship is an issue of time. It's an issue of time. When we talk about stewardship of time, we're talking how much time, how often, when. So as it relates to social media, it's a question of how much are you on it, how often, and when, ultimately even. Now, I could probably overwhelm you and guilt you with all the statistics at this time, because I think that we all know that this is something that gets abused every single day. The reality is that hours are spent on social media by youth and adults. Again, it's not just about youth, it's adults as well. And the question is using social media bad? What have we talked about so far? Is it bad? No, it's not. But again, what you do with it determines if it's good or bad. So is it keeping you, ask yourself these questions, is it keeping you from doing what you should be doing? That's a good question, right? Is the time that you are engaged in social media, or you may even just extend this to just being on your smartphone, is it keeping you from doing something that you should be doing? So in other words, your stewardship of other responsibilities. Perhaps doing the chores for mom and dad as they asked you to, or doing your homework, or listening to your teacher or your pastor in church. I'm just throwing it out there because I think we've all been there, right? Let's just be honest. Is it keeping you from loving and serving other people? Yeah, I know you think, well, that sounds kind of big and heady, but reality is a lot of times we find so much time that we wrap up in self-absorption with social media that we neglect ways that we could maybe be a blessing to other people around us, the friends around us, our parents. Another question to ask, is it controlling your day? Let's just be honest. How many people wake up first thing, social media? Last thing before bed, social media. Everything in between, checking our phones, seeing what's happening. I mean, I don't know about you, but that to me, like if it's bookending your day like that, and if it's something that you feel a constant need to check throughout the day, then in some way it is controlling you. As Christians, we're going to give an account to God for the things that we did with our time and how we used it. And I don't know about you, but that's scary, and I'd rather not to have to stand before God and explain to him why I use so much time on my phone or a social media account. Just, there's so many other things in life that you're going to have to give an account for. I'd just rather not have to stand before God and answer for something that is really so, in many ways, can be petty and self-absorbed. So just think about those things. I mean, Psalm 90 is wonderful. This is one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." He's saying, help us to number our days to know that there are only so many days that we get so that we can use our days wisely. We don't want to use them foolishly. We want to use them wisely. In Ephesians 5, 15 to 16, it says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." So that sounds very familiar to what we just heard in Psalm 90. It says, "Making the most of your time because the days are evil." Again, our days, you know, there's only so many of them. We want to use them wisely. We want to redeem the time. So as it relates to, you know, stewardship, I think about, you know, this issue of time. I really think that this comes back to an issue also of dependence. And I love the way that Tim Challies asks this. He says, do you own your technology or does it own you? Some of the questions that are proposed by Jonathan Smith in this little booklet here called Are You Hooked?, which I'll talk about here at the end as well. He proposes several good questions, and I'm not going to have time for you to write these down, so I'm just going to rattle them off just for them to kind of just sit and for you guys to listen to. But he asks these questions of the person who's reading. He says, do you ever walk and post from a device at the same time? Do you ever use your device while driving? Does your anxiety rise when you are separated from it? Do you get nervous about what others are posting about you? Do you get concerned that there are activities taking place without you? Are you slow to obey when asked to give up your device? Would you rather spend time with your device than family and friends? Do you go straight to social media or your device first thing in the morning or as the final thing you do at night? Do you sleep with your device next to you at night? Do you check your device when you should be paying attention to other things such as church service, television, or even class? And guys, the more yes answers that you had to those questions, the more you are prioritizing your device, your social media account, over other priorities in your life, people, activities, whatever it may be. There was one teen study that was done that said a young person checks their accounts most likely over 100 times a day. Again, I'm not sure how that balances out across people, but you know what? It wouldn't surprise me. It really doesn't. There were some teen comments from a CNN special report that was done, which CNN, guys, it's not a Christian group by any means, but I thought it was ironic that they had these quotes within them because I can see it. I can see it so well. It says one person they quoted says, "I would rather not eat for a week than get my phone taken away. It's really bad. I literally feel like I'm going to die." That's a quote from an actual person. You know what, guys? It doesn't surprise me. You know, I feel like I have to explain myself every time that I say we're not taking phones on a retreat. Because there's this, all of a sudden there's this anxiety of, well, what am I going to do without my phone? Because we're so, we become dependent upon it. Another quote from that study, it says, "When I get my phone taken away, I feel kind of naked. I do feel kind of empty without my phone." So the reality is that we have trouble separating ourselves from our devices. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. And all things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." Guys, you need to always ask yourself that question. If you have a smartphone or if you just have a computer or a social media account, whatever it may be, you have to ask yourself time and time again, is this owning me or am I owning it? And then also distraction. So sorry, it's at the bottom there. Distraction is the last aspect of this. The danger of technology is that a lot of times it keeps us from other priorities. And distraction diminishes our productivity and our ability to think deeply. And I feel bad, I forgot to put this like little progression thing on here, but I like the way that Tim Challies talks about this here. He says that distraction ultimately equals shallow thinking. And shallow thinking ultimately equals shallow living. So I'll say that again if you want to write that down. It says that distraction equals shallow thinking. So in other words, we don't think deeply about things. And when we are shallow thinkers, we also then, that equals shallow living. We don't live deeply for anything. We love our ability to engage in deeper ways of thinking, but don't buy the lie that says that multitasking is more efficient. It's actually just what we would call task switching, because our brains are not wired for us actually to do two things well at the same time. No matter how much you think that you can do those things, reality is that our brain is really focusing on one more than the other. And so it's amazing how many times we allow ourselves to be distracted by phones and devices and the things that are happening there and trying to say that we're engaged with real life. The reality is we can't. So think about how that relates to your devices. I mean, again, a few weeks ago I was at a basketball game and there was a girl sitting and the whole time she was technically watching the game, but she was on her device the whole time interacting with other people, and it was like trying to get the best of both worlds at the same time, and it wasn't helpful to either person. Colossians 3:23 says that whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than men. This relates a lot more to an employer and employee relationship, but again, it's really speaking just the truth there, that whatever you do, do it well. So if you're supposed to be doing something else, do it well. Don't allow devices and these things to kind of separate you from everything else that you could be doing. All right, we'll roll through these last three a little bit quicker here. Speech. And guys, we could say so much about this. Like we said earlier, social media is one of the greatest tools that God uses to expose what is in our hearts. And perhaps that's no clearer than in our words, right? And that's a biblical principle. That's not just me. I mean, this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15, 18 and 19. He says, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." Exactly what we're saying here. "And those that defile the man, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders." He's saying all those things, if they come out in your mouth, it's because they already exist in your heart. In other words, social media essentially just gives you another platform for those things to come out. It's the same thing he says in Luke 6:45 here, that you ultimately bring out in your speech what exists in your heart. So if it comes out, if there's something that you're saying about somebody else or about, you know, what's going on in life, it's a reflection of what you're meditating on, what's really stewing in your life. Much of social media is built on communication with other people, but often it becomes a platform for us to vent, complain, gossip, become argumentative, and to express anger. And so I put on your sheets there several different ways that the Bible speaks to these types of things. I mean, think about what the Bible says about complaining. I love Philippians 2:14. I mean, it's so simple. It says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." And really that second word there is disputing is complaining. Do all things without grumbling or complaining. And I like the second part because it says, "So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God." And the rest of that verse goes on to say, "Where you shine like stars in a dark world," essentially. So by how we speak, we're communicating. We're supposed to be, again, light to the world. And so when we're gossiping and complaining about other people, we're not shining very bright. We're not doing what we're supposed to. Think about argumentative. Oh, there we go. Nope. Argumentative. "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body." You're like, what in the world is that talking about? Okay, morsels is the idea, you know, let's just, what's your favorite candy?
Kit Kats.
What?
Wait, did you say candy?
Yeah, what's your favorite candy?
Kit Kats.
Kit Kats? Okay. So the words of a whisper are like Kit Kats going down. It tastes so good, right? So the words of a whisper, in other words, the words of a gossip, somebody who's saying something about others, a lot of times it tastes so good. I don't know what it is about the way that our sinful nature is, but there's something about when we hear information about other people, it feels good. And that's what the Bible's saying, and that's not a good thing. We don't want that to be our lives. What does it say about being an argumentative person? Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but a fool will quarrel. Okay, if you're using social media as a platform to just get into arguments with people, because believe me, I know plenty of those people, okay? It's foolish. A fool is the one who quarrels. This is not meant to be for God's people. And in anger, an angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. So all this to say, and guys, we could put on there, I think, James 3:1-12, because that's probably the strongest section in all the Bible. It talks about the dangers of your words. So the danger of social media is that often our words, or I want to maybe extend this for a second, the photos even that we post, are nearly impossible to bring them back. It's nearly impossible. Once we put them out there, it's almost impossible for us to take them back. So our words, guys, we have to understand that they need to be used in a positive way. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word, in other words, no word that's complaining, gossip, argumentative, angry, let that not proceed from your mouth, but only what is for edification. How many of your posts, if you are a person who has a social media account currently, how many of your posts are meant to purposely build other people up in your life, to encourage them? Ephesians 5:19-20, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God. How much of your life is communicating, again, thanksgiving, and is a sweet sound to other people? That's what this verse is saying. All right, last two areas here. Friendship. Social media has really changed the way that we think about friendships. Many youth are just as content to stay in their room and socialize with friends rather than hang out with them in person. It's kind of a weird thing about the culture we live in today is that a lot of people are just as content to just go into their room and socialize with people that way than actually go out and hang out with them. And again, that may or may not be you, but I think we exhibit those tendencies sometimes. Because we suddenly have a way to connect with more people in our school, community, and our world than ever before. We believe and we kind of buy into this idea that more is better. More friends, more followers, more likes. Again, more is just better to us. And so friendships and really our communication are often shaped around social media, but what does the Bible teach us to think about friendships, and how can that help us think about friendship in the social media realm? Well, Proverbs 18:24. I love this verse as it relates to social media. This is so good. A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Well, what is the basis of social media most of the time? It's about how many friends can you get? How many followers can you have? And so this kind of just speaks so contrary to that is, you know, a person of too many friends comes to ruin. Here's the deal. The depth of your friendships on your social media accounts, for the most part, guys, they're just really shallow, right? You have people on there that you're like, I talked to them once in person, ever. And so you're allowing them kind of to, like, enter into your life, but not really into their... It's just... Think about it. It's kind of a weird dynamic is that we have these people that are labeled as friends or followers and all this, and yet we have a very shallow relationship with them. And so maybe we need to rethink, like, okay, what is our criteria for friends? And so if they really are our friends, what are we doing to build them up? What are we doing to edify them? Proverbs 27:17, that kind of speaks to what I just said here. Iron, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. How many of those friends on social media are actually building you up as well? What are you doing to sharpen them, and what are they doing to sharpen you? Because as 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, Bad company corrupts good morals. You've probably heard that verse before. So the question is, are your so-called friends or your so-called followers that you have on your social media accounts, are they leading you in the right or the wrong direction? Are they posting stuff that is encouraging you, or is it actually leading you into sin? Are they saying words and complaining and doing all these things that we talked about in speech that is so unedifying? I mean, I don't know how many times I've had to delete people as followers or friends in my accounts just because it's just like, these people are just not edifying in my life. Every time I look at their thing, like, it's about something just not pleasant. Or they post pictures of things that are just so risque. And you're just like, what in the world? This is not edifying. So we have to think about, okay, is that currently in my own life? And where do I need to make changes? And fellowship. Fellowship is a really rich word in the Bible. Fellowship talks about the way that we as Christians relate to one another, the way that we have life and community together. And while social media has allowed us to connect and to interact with others in the digital world, understand this, guys. While it has allowed us to connect better with people in the digital world, it has started to hinder us from connecting and interacting with people in the real world. You get what I'm saying? We can connect better with people now than we ever have in the digital world, and yet we're doing a really poor job with relating and communicating and investing in people in the real world. In other words, social media and our devices, they hinder us from having real conversations a lot of times in the real world, as well as meaningful conversations that need to be had in the real world. In other words, conflict, for example, okay? You got something going on with somebody, and all of a sudden we resort to texting it to each other, or we resolve to, you know, send each other messages in our social media accounts rather than actually have the conversation in person. I mean, you can't see tone, you can't read body language over a media platform. You can try your best on all your emojis and whatnot to communicate it, but the reality is your emojis are not your emotions, okay? They are not your body language. And here's the thing, God created us with emotions and body language and tone. He did that for a reason. It wasn't so that we could put those things aside so that we can just put it all in a text format. Guys, one of my greatest concerns with social media today is how it keeps us from loving people right in front of us. And this is something that I have to stress because I love you guys. And I think some of you might be aware of this, but I think that there is a certain sense in which we are naive to this. Where it's just become socially acceptable, for example, a family sitting around the dinner table to have cell phones out. Everybody's kind of just on their devices because that's what they do. In fact, there was a macaroni commercial years ago that said the macaroni, it was basically feeding off this idea that the macaroni is so good, it'll make you want to put your phone down. Like, that was the advertisement thing. And that's kind of like, it's funny, but it's also sad, right? Because if we're requiring the quality of our macaroni and cheese to allow us to put down our phone, we really have a problem, right? But seriously, how many rooms could you walk into in our country today at night where people are sitting around, have a TV on, and everybody's sitting around on their phone or their iPad, not talking to each other? How many times can you walk into a room and find kids on their phones who are sitting right next to each other, perhaps even at youth group, who are talking either to one another via the device, or they're talking to other people via the device, they're just sitting right next to each other. Guys, there's this inability to connect with the person who is trying to say maybe something to you. You know, somebody's having a conversation with you and you're doing something on your phone at the same time, and you know, sometimes that person doesn't care, but the reality is, we can say that's just the way it is, or everyone is doing it. But I don't want to be that kind of culture that just says, oh, it's no big deal. We have to understand that according to the Bible, if you're doing those types of things, I don't really care what you say about it or what the other person who's around you says about it. The way that the Bible would describe those actions is both unloving and selfish and rude. I mean, it's just a reality. And I'm not trying to, like, guilt you guys or anything. It's just, and it's convicting to me. But when we're around other people, God built us for community, to love and to socialize and to actually interact with each other in person. And when we gather in community and we are there and in person with one another, and then we result to socializing with other people who are elsewhere, it's really, whether or not the people around realize it, it's really a slap in the face to one another. Because God built us for that community to actually pour into one another, because it communicates to the person who is actually there that my time and my digital relationship that I'm investing in right now is more important than you. That's really what it comes down to. And again, I recognize that this could be easy for you to blow off and dismiss, but I want to challenge you over the next couple of weeks. When you're in a social context, whether it be school or church or an athletic event, hanging out with a friend, how often will you see people interacting with others on their device rather than the person who's right there in the setting with them? And I think it'll surprise you. If you allow yourself to kind of just be aware of that over the next couple weeks, I think it will surprise you. Because by talking with others in a digital space, you're neglecting a God-given responsibility to love others and encourage others who are right there before you. That includes your parents, your friends, your teachers, your pastors, your small group leaders. So the reality is God created us for fellowship in real, genuine relationships. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. I love this verse. It says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." In other words, don't be vain. Don't be thinking life is so much about you that it's not about other people. Because when we're on our phones or our devices and we're engaging in social media and talking with other people who are not there, we're really making a statement about the person who is there. It says, regard others as more important than yourselves. Don't look out to your own interests, but look out to the interests of others. In Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, okay? In other words, when it says give preference, it means essentially allow their life to be more important than your life in that moment. So think about how that impacts your life. Now, as we wrap this up, I want to give a couple practical considerations, and then we'll have some time here for some questions. So some practical considerations as it relates to social media. I need to think about your parents on this for a moment. And I know you're thinking, oh no, what's he going to say about my parents? But first of all, understand this. Be obedient to what your parents' rules and guidelines are, including online curfews, access to certain sites and apps, and even, guys, for when maybe your parents allow you to even get a social media account, okay? I recognize that that can be a tender issue sometimes, but just be submissive to that, because by fighting against it, you're not proving anything more. I would also encourage you to have them, your parents, or maybe even a leader. I mean, I think it's good to have your parents. You're going to hate this. I know you're going to hate this, but have them review your profile for the purpose of transparency and accountability. Okay, remember, if you are a Christian, understand this. You have to understand this from a Christian perspective, not the mom-dad relationship, okay? If you're a Christian, you want to be walking in the light, right? You want to be walking in a way that would be pleasing and honorable to God. And so you wouldn't want your profile of a social media account or something to be portraying something contrary to the world, right? So you would want somebody to speak into your life, because sometimes, I wish it was different, but our friends a lot of times aren't necessarily always the ones who are going to tell us that. Our classmates are not always going to be the ones to tell us that. And so have somebody you trust, and I would encourage you, your parents, because I think that's good for your relationship, for the purpose of transparency and accountability, to have them review it and offer suggestions. Talk to them also, guys. Talk to them. If anyone has made you uncomfortable in some type of way on social media. This is just, again, the world that we live in today. So many just people that we don't know we allow to kind of come into our lives, whether it be through apps or games or, you know, social media accounts. We're like, oh, I don't really know this person, but I'll allow them to be my friend on Facebook. And we give them an inroad, and there's something just there's that's not right there. And they reach out to you all of a sudden, want to know more about you. I love everybody in this room. I want you guys to know that here today. I care too much about you to not tell you that. So if you are reached out to in some type of way that makes you feel the slightest discomfort, talk to your parent about it. And if you don't talk to your parent about it, please talk to your small group leader about it. And then your small group leader will say, go talk to your parent about it. So it's ultimately a circle. But just please, don't just think, don't be naive. That's really what it is. Don't be naive. I get it. I've had to deal with issues like this already since I've been a pastor here. Okay, I don't want to have to deal with that stuff over and over again because people are naive to the world that we live in. And also be willing to teach your parents about social media and how to use certain accounts. And you're like, why would I want to do that? I'm trying to run from them. I get that. I get that. And I love the honesty of these books that I've read, okay? I think that this develops trust with your parents. Because we're not trying to run from them. Again, this is about accountability and transparency. I think it shows love, trust, and a desire for wanting somebody to speak into your life. And I get that. That's hard because a lot of you are like, the last thing I want is for my parents to be more involved in my life. But I think that's a very big disservice to you. We can talk more about that. A couple other things. Guys, think before you post. This includes pictures, texts, whatever. A good rule of thumb here, guys, count to 10 before you post. So if you have something ready to go, count to 10 before you do it. Ask yourself, will this honor God? Will this hurt somebody else? Will this portray me in a distorted way, as a way that's maybe untrue? Will it, you know, make me look seductive in some way? Will this make me not look like a Christian, honestly? Like, those are the types of questions you have to ask yourselves. I like Proverbs 29:20. It says, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than him. And if you've read Proverbs, you know there's not a whole lot of hope for fools. So to say that a person who is hasty in his words, that's a big deal. In other words, if you're quick to like express yourself, that can be a bad thing. So this is saying just stop, slow down, think about it. And also with this, guys, remember that God sees all things, okay? Certain apps and social media platforms have been designed around this idea of secrecy, that what you say and show can disappear and no one can ever know about it. You know, we make a big deal about the whole secrecy side of things, but again, I don't understand that. You think that you can get away from it with your parents or your leaders, whatever it could be. But that's just foolish because, again, God sees everything. Proverbs 5:21 reminds us that, you know, the ways of a man are before the Lord, and He directs their paths. He sees everything. So to think that we can outrun God in some type of way that he doesn't see, it's just foolish. Don't just think before you post. Also think about what you post. And again, I'm not saying that you can't use social media as a platform to share your interests and hobbies with others. In fact, I'd say that's a great way to do that. In fact, what is, as a Christian, your greatest interest? It's Jesus, right? I mean, I hope that's your answer. So, I love from this book, Are You Hooked Here? It gives you a recommendation. It says, post one item per day that encourages others and helps them become more like Christ. That could be a verse. That could be a link to an article. Guys, that could be something as simple as if you're a person who likes taking pictures of just like things in creation, a sunset, things like that. Awesome. Attach something to that that just says, man, isn't God good? Isn't God just great in the way that he has creation? Like, just you see how you can tie your interests and your things together in such a way that it points back to God. So just think strategically. If you're a Christian, how you can tie in your interests and point people to God all at the same time. And then finally, guys, take breaks. Take breaks from it. Find designated times to put your devices away, your social media accounts, go on a hiatus from them. Okay, you know, take a break during dinner time, family game or movie time, church service. Leave your phone at home during church. I mean, I'm just, you know, I know that's a big thing, but just, I think that it's good. It's good for you. to remove the distraction and the temptation. You know, maybe even during the nighttime, you know, move your phone out of your room and put it in the hall or something. You're like, ah, that's my alarm clock in the morning. Well, okay, get a real alarm clock. That's what I just did. I charged my phone out in the living room. I have a real alarm clock in the room now. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've seen articles about people falling asleep with their phone on their bed charging and it starts to fire. So I'm saving your life, too. Again, you need to just consistently think about how you can do this. Think strategically about how you're spending time on your device or your media platform. And be humble enough, guys, to even ask a parent, a teacher, a leader, you know, how much are you spending time on this device? Let them give you an honest feedback about that. And be humble enough to receive it. All right, so we'll leave here just a little bit of time. So what type of questions do you guys have as we are going through this that we can try to answer together? Anything in particular? Something that would be practical, helpful. Any applications for avoiding gossip?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, when we think about when we think about gossip, we think about gossip as kind of like a secret thing, which when you post it on social media, it's not really a secret thing anymore. But a lot of times we can use it, I mean, if we're just messaging individual people. I mean, that's still the idea of gossip. Once we put it out there in public, it's still gossip, but it becomes something even more disturbing, obviously, in many ways. But practical applications for that, guys, it's interesting. And I don't know that this applies necessarily to just social media, but as it relates to gossip, one thing I think that's interesting is, first of all, you always have to evaluate yourself. One thing I'm always trying to check myself is, am I saying something about somebody that is misrepresenting them in some type of way that's not true, or that I don't know for sure. And I've had to do that. Ever since becoming a pastor, I realized there's so many different ways that I can be prone to start talking about something, and I realized, first of all, it's not appropriate maybe for me to be talking about this, and also I might be misrepresenting somebody or some situation in a way that's not completely correct, and for me to speak in a way that makes it sound authoritative and that it's correct is wrong. I also think we also need to be willing to be the people who shut down gossip. I think that's the other thing is, you know, we think about this often from our perspective of gossiping, but I think we need to be the type of people who are willing to think about how we can shut down gossip as well. And you don't have to be like that weird person who's just like, you shouldn't be talking about this. Okay, don't be that person. That's just weird. Don't be angry about it. But just say, you know, just be the person who's willing to say, you know, somebody like start talking to you, be like, you know, I don't really know much about that situation, but I'd rather not, you know, without knowing all the details, I don't wanna go there, and just redirect the conversation. Okay, again, obviously, as we talked about, it's like a Kit Kat. I mean, it sounds really good initially to start nibbling and chewing away at gossip because it sounds good. But we have to fight against that urge. Okay, we have to help other people with that as well. So this is helping. I don't know if it's a practical application or not, but those are just some ways to think about it. Anything else? Any other questions? So two books, guys, that I found really helpful as I was doing this study. I want to recommend them. I want to recommend them because I know that several of you are coming up on spring break here soon, and I know you're thinking, you're like, well, I escape homework over break. I get that. I'm not in the business of giving you something that I think would just be a waste of time and is going to take a super long time to read. So there's two books that were written specifically, I think, with students in mind. So this book here, This is specifically written for teenage girls and leaders of teenage girls, so leaders, I would highly recommend you read this as well. I have a couple copies of it, I think, on that shelf over there. So it's a book called FaceTime, Your Identity in a Selfie World. So that whole section we talked about where you find your identity in Christ and not in other people. Young ladies, this is a great book, and the reason I like it especially for you is, like, each chapter is, like, 4 pages long. So they're, like, super short. And it just, I mean, again, like I said, it's written for girls. Like I said, I read it, but
come on, stop.
I did that for your sake so that I could communicate it well to you. But I really like the way that she wrote this book.
Did you read it alongside with Holly?
I didn't, no. I recommended it to Holly, though. So, but there's a place for you to even, like, there's, like, stuff or, like, verses and journaling at the end of it just for you to kind of process it at the end. So here's the deal. We have a couple of those copies of that book on that shelf over here. And so I'm going to put this back over there. So if you're a person who wants to read something like this, or maybe here's a recommendation for your girls. If you want to read it alongside one of your leaders and challenge them to read it together or something, that'd be awesome as well. So that's a really good book. This also, so this book here called Hashtag Are You Hooked? So I was at a conference a few weeks ago. The guy who wrote this, it's like a booklet is what it is. So it's a book, but it's like a booklet. So it's called Are You Hooked?
I
like the guy who wrote this, Jonathan Smith, is like, he's like the lead technology guy at this church. So he's not even like a pastor. He just writes this from a Christian technology perspective. And it's, you know, this, the subtitle of it is for teens and those who care about them. So this idea is he wrote this book on just for you to evaluate, kind of like what we've done today, evaluate social media. And so here's the deal. If you want to look at this here, and again, it's like a fast read. So I read this whole booklet thing in like a half an hour. It doesn't take long. If you are a person who's interested in what we talked about, and you can promise me that you want to know more about it and would like to read this, I will order a copy of this for you. So, but you got to let me know, because I'm not just going to like order a bunch and then have them sit here.
Okay.
So if you're a person who wants to, then come find me afterwards, and I'll write that down, and I'll order copies of this, because it's pretty cheap, and it's really good.
Can you do that for the other book, too?
So this one's a little bit more expensive, but what we can do here is, like, you can rent it, essentially, and put it back on the shelf, like, whenever you're done. So we might have a couple out at a time or something. I might need to get more copies of it, but I highly recommend that one as well. Who's it by? Kristen Hatton. So Kristen, and last name is Hatton.
How do you spell Kristen? There are multiple ways to spell that, right?
K-R-I-S-T-E-N-I-N.
Yeah.
Can you
K-R-I-S.
Oh, wait,
hold on.
K-R-I-S.
10. T-E-N.
Yeah. Ten or ton? There's a
difference. Ten.
And
Hatton. H-A-T-T-O-N. All right. Any other final questions? And if you have some more questions afterwards, come up and I'd be happy to talk about them. Or if it's something that's more, you want to talk to your small group leader about that process with them, that's fine as well. So let me close us in prayer and you can be dismissed. God, thank you again for today. Very grateful for these students and their attention during our time together. Pray that this workshop has been helpful for them as they just evaluate their own lives. And as we mentioned before, this isn't just a box of our lives as it relates to social media. This really is the overflow of so many other areas of our lives. Our identity, we think about that, Lord, is not just wrapped up in our social media accounts. It overflows into so many areas of our life and the way that we relate to other people and the activities and things that we're involved in, our speech, our stewardship of time. God, these things are just prevalent on all levels. So help us just to evaluate them. We want to live faithfully. We want to live in a way that's pleasing to you. So help us to do that well as a result of this. May we be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. So help us to be able to put into place what we've learned here tonight. We thank you, Lord. We love you for your grace. We know that it's impossible for us to be here apart from that this day. So we just want to express our gratitude and our thanksgiving for you, for giving us a new identity. in Christ. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.